journey begins when we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Lynn and Zoe Avery.
I'm Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world. And my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is part six, I do believe, about Gregory's life and journey in the spirit world when he passed over. He's taken us on quite a journey, and I'm really looking forward to tonight's information. Anyway, if you would like to join us with a question, the number is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. And also in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. It's a question. It's not a reading, okay? It's a question about the topic of conversation that we're discussing or any other question that you want to know about the spirit world that might be relevant to our discussion. Or anything that you want to know about Gregory in particular. Okay? But it's not a reading, all right?
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and absolutely divine bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, please do go and visit our websites, which are www.spirit-teaching.com and www.spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. And I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else in the spirit world. Please do take a look at our websites for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of every show because it would take up way too much valuable time. Anyway, I'm going to say goodbye for this week because I'm going to go and fall into a state of unconsciousness
and have a nice time.
And have a nice time, hopefully, yeah. Well, no, it is always, actually. Sometimes it's just like going to sleep, and other times it's like falling off a log.
Okay, and then now backwards. You're talking gibberish.
Yeah, and it's always backwards. So, okay, I'm about to go backwards. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
And Gregory, who will be here very shortly, had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more harmonious and peaceful future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds of all and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information that we bring generally is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. And so the next voice you will hear apart from mine is spirit guide Gregory Hay speaking through Mick. But I'd just like to tell you that we will actually be doing another workshop in Portland, in the Portland area, on this Friday, 7 till 9 in the evening, at Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces, a wonderful little New Age sort of crystal shop down in, Broadway. So if you'd like to join us there, we're going to be teaching you how to form a spirit development circle for the development of your gifts. So it will be fascinating. Gregory will be probably making an appearance at some point. Okay, 7 to 9, Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces in Portland. If you would like to go onto our website, you can find out more information about that workshop and other workshops leading up to Christmas in the Portland area, which is, the website is www.spirit-teaching.com. So, welcome, Gregory.
Good love and light and peace be upon your journey, friend.
Oh, thank you. Well, we've been really looking forward to tonight. Last week, you actually, since going to the spirit world after your passing, when you crossed over from the earth plane, you have eventually ended up at your soul group of Arcania, and you managed to tell us as best you could of the euphoria, really, it sounded like to me, and I'm sure it did to our listeners, of what it actually felt when you got to your soul group. And then at the end of the show, you actually said that the people that met you, that were with you, that were showering their love on you, could tell that you'd actually had as much as you could take, basically, of love, of pure love that we can only imagine, absolutely, you know, beyond anything that we on this physical earth can comprehend, really, it sounds like. So what did you do then after that?
Well, my dear friend, actually what happened after that was that I was, in a sense, brought face to face with myself. This was quite a strange experience because it was as though looking in a mirror and yet I could see everything of my life. And then there I was presented with my Akashic book. And this is the point, really, that I was presented with my Akashic book, that I was aware that I was both in the halls of learning and also in my soul group of Arcania. So it was as though I was seeing this mirror image of myself, and I actually began this period of reflection, and I was still feeling this tremendous amount of love and understanding around me, as though I was very much aware of the presence of many, many beings who were assembled, in a sense, to witness my journey. Now, some people may think that, well, this would actually put you off of the whole situation of revealing your lifetime experience if there are so many witnesses to it. Yet I had a profound sense and feeling that they were not there to judge me. And in fact, no sense of judgment was ever felt about any of the recounting that I ever did. This place in both the halls of learning and also in my spirit harbor as well was such a bountiful experience. I was, it felt as though I was in an elliptical bower. How can I describe this? It was almost as though I was in the nest of a place that was surrounded and enveloped in a form of love of the like of which I had never before encountered. This was a form of energy which gave me an immense amount of courage and strength to look upon, I feel, the pathways of my life experience. I looked upon the times of when I was just but 3.5 years of age. Some of my earliest memories came from this time period when I was with my father and we were burying my mother. These were times of my deepest reflection of my anxiety, I suppose you could say. And yet I felt not the anxious pain that I felt at the time, even though I did not quite comprehend what life would be without my mother. I didn't quite understand that she would not be there. If you follow me.
Oh, absolutely. When you're that young, you don't even comprehend life.
No, quite so. Well, I did,
you know,
in
not,
a sense.
Not to the point of the
mortality.
Mortality, absolutely, yes.
No, quite so. Absolutely. So I remember that at the time that of my reflection, and this, in a sense, was what I was brought, you see. I was brought to the time of my reflection of what it felt like to me at the point of my mother's passing. And at the very moment that I began thinking of this, and the almost dread, in a sense, and yet not knowing what the future would hold, I was very much aware of another sense of love around me, another presence around me. And that, in fact, began and continued to build in as much as my reflection continued upon the moment, upon the scenario as it was painted for me, as I watched as her box, if you like, was sent into the ground. And as I looked upon it and looked upon the other people who were all, as it were, dressed in black in this time that was, it had a very damp impression upon me. The atmosphere was damp, and all of those memories were suddenly there in great luminosity. And yet, in a sense, I responded to it as a feeling that I knew that all was well, because I had already, of course, met my mother at just not long after my passing. And so, in a sense, I was trying to get to grips with what I was actually viewing myself, but also in the sense as well that I could recollect the other situations of my life experience whereby I had just already met with my mother some time previously, just after my passing. And that I then reflected upon her values and her essence and her presence, and there she was, within my very soul group, within the very harbor life of love that has always existed for me. And this was a time, my dear friends, when I reflected most deeply, I suppose, about the lost, in a sense, the lost relationship that I felt that I never really had with her. And that is something which really reflected so deeply. And then it was as though all of that was gone and forgiven. Although I still carry it as an issue of memory that my physical life moved through in that time of reflection, that actually it was as though the reflection itself was like observing a film, as though it did not matter because her presence was real and around me. She enveloped me in her love, just the same as the others in the soul group enveloped me in their love, yet the love vibration appeared to be different. I could tell the difference.
But you didn't really know how you could tell the difference.
No, I didn't, I have to admit. I did not. I was just aware that it was of a different vibration, that it was of a different essence. It was a more, I suppose, biological memory rather than something which was akin to my spirit value. And that is not denigrating my mother, not in the slightest. But it is really saying that the relationship was one thing, that was a physical emblem of my physical life journey. Yet, what actually reflected upon this meeting was the very fact that there were all of these other beings present. And I seemed to know all of them intimately. Perhaps not in the reflection of their names, but it was as though I had always known them. And then gradually what appeared to happen was that in the sequence of memory and the sequence of events as they transpired, over the time as my mother reflected upon this memory of how she felt as well toward me as I thought of her, in this time of reflection upon my Akashic book, I was aware that all was in completion, that all had come full circle. and that we were, as it were, continuing our relationship.
Did anybody explain that it was your Akashic book and what that was?
In a sense, my dear friend, no one actually had to. I have to say that I was aware of this presence, of the gathering throng, if you like, of beings who gave me this profound love, and then the book just appeared in front of me. And it was of this immense volume. It was inscribed with lettering. It was a leather-bound volume of a size that appeared far too large. It was almost as though I was reading the text of some great and wonderful journey, you see. Something far too glorious for my petty life.
What did it have
experience
on the cover?
And what it had on the cover was in gold letters the name of Gregor, the life and times of Gregory Hay.
So it had both names on it?
It had both names upon it, yes.
And how big was it in inches?
Oh, my word, my dear friend, it was perhaps some 24 or 30 inches in height from top of the cover to the bottom. It was some 24 inches wide, one cover of it. And as I opened it, I could not see the bottom. It was, however, that it appeared to open in the middle of the book. Somewhere in the middle, what appeared to be, there was a good foot of thickness of many pages that it just moved straight through.
Why did it do that?
Well, when it stopped upon the first page, when it had stopped moving, that is, and it was moving by itself, unseen hands, I suppose, or unseen energy. Upon reflection, of course, I am well aware that it is actually to do with your own personal energy that observes the specific page, so that when you are actually looking at your own Akashic book yourself, you are impressed to begin at the beginning of your physical life journey.
Ah, really? You can't sort of like... Could you skip something? Could you want to go back to a certain age and time and instance that that you feel that you need to for some reason personal to you?
Well, actually, my dear friend, that's much further along.
Okay.
That is really, in fact, to do with the situation as it becomes available to you, as you become to study the book yourself. And, of course, you could spend absolutely a whole lifetime studying just your own Akashic book. So fascinating is it, and so profound are its pages.
Are they all the same size, Akashic books? Well, I presume, are they the same in dimension? Presumably what's in them differs.
Yes, of course. Absolutely, because everyone's journey is different.
Yeah, exactly. But are, in dimension, are they the same size? Like you said, they're 24, 30 inches.
Yes, approximately.
Across,
yes, but the depth of them is something which appears to be, it could be anything.
Yeah, like a diary. I mean, you know, it depends how much you've done in your lifetime.
Well, yes, but of course, don't forget, friend, that your Akashic book is actually of the entirety of eternity. So, however, at this point, I was well aware of the fact that there was a great deal of the book which had been passed over for some reason, and that it began in somewhere in the middle. So as I observed the book, I actually looked over and peered into it, and the pages, it was as though the actual paper, the mirror image, appeared to be of an illumination of a like and a kind that I had not seen before in physical life, yet I have a kind of a sense of memory that I had seen it before. And upon reflection, actually, it was a little like the luminescence that came through the stonework in the halls of learning. if you remember that I was telling you about how the stonework, the mortar joints in between the stonework of the halls of learning were that illuminescent that it appeared that it illuminated the entire place, the entire building, with a kind of permeating soft light which appeared to have no end. So I am looking at this book with its pages, and I am observing the fact that it most definitely has this beautiful appearance. It had this beautiful appearance, almost like a silkiness, to its pages. I was aware, too, of the fact that even though it had this luminescence, that I was also aware that as I looked into the first page that I could see, there became a form of writing upon it. And the first words I could read said, "Here lies the journey of Gregory Hay. The balance and the harmony, the beginning and the middle of life. The presence and the dawning moment of the cherished experience in the essence of physical harmony." I then continued to look at the page, and it was as though there I was aware of movement upon it. I stepped back. I was quite alarmed. I stepped back from it, and as I did so, there I was, actually in the page. I was observing this child that I took to be me. Instantly, I recognized it as my own childlike state. It was really quite amazing, because it was as though I had a link to it, and I had an instant link mentally, in a sense, from my thought process. I was delivered to the thoughts that were coming from the page, which appeared to be washing through my consciousness. And I was actually reliving the moments of breath. I was reliving the moments of my garbled thoughts, of the things as they began to grow in my mind, and then peter away, and I could not grasp them. I remembered the sense and essence of my childhood thinking, I cannot grasp the thoughts. I cannot grasp. I was grasping at the air, you see.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, and I could not grasp the thoughts of or make sense of them, of what they were. And then gradually, I became aware of the fact that I could determine color. And then I reflected upon all of the color that was around me, and suddenly the whole room changed. And it was as though this kaleidoscope of color was moved by my emotion, by my very emotion and linkage with this view of my Akashic book and the very life at that which I was presented, that I began to understand that here, in fact, was the presence of life as the perfect part, not of my own life, but of the representation of God in that essence. And I reflected at the time, this surely must mean, not just me, but for all of us, that we are all a part of this pathway. We are all just as divine as this single cell growing into this small child, as the single cell of any animal growing into this child. And as I remember, I reflected upon this of any animal, and then suddenly I was aware then of many other beings very closely around me. And it was as though they were stroking me. They were stroking not my ego, but they were stroking me out of kindness, out of gratitude, out of reassurance that I was correctly upon my pathway, not through imagination, but through the connectivity of thought from one being to another, not an elliptical montage, but something which was real and very definitive, something which contained all the emotion of the presence and glory of that single oneness. That single one state when I realized instantly that this was a part of the divine presence of all energy, of all love that exists in physical state and the spirit world.
And at what point could you go beyond your looking at your earth life in the Akashic records?
Well, my dear friend, I have to say, this journey of mine actually continued for some time as I was transfixed in a sense in how could this be? How could such a thing, almost near magic, be displaying itself in such a way as to enlighten my consciousness, to grace my thoughts with some upper contention, that intention that what was inspired for me was to illuminate the fact that I could see the point. It was almost instantaneously verified that that was how I needed to see my life. That it was a display of that which magnifies the beauty of God.
Okay, so did that take you a long time then to do that, as in our time?
Well, I had no concept of it. I was just aware, in a sense, of the next moment, the next thoughts that came, and then the next ones. And it was as though the very essence of time seemed to be still and have no meaning, have no essence. I shared not in its density at all. I had no concept of the pity of it. That's the thing, I think, that many people in human physical state have a relationship of time is the pity of it, the inextricable march that time possesses you as a being and takes you toward your physical death is something of the cycle of physical life. It's as though you are drawn to it like a magnet, yet you don't really want to be there because of the fear that you have bred within you, as is, I suppose, for myself. You see, I didn't actually have the fear bred within me. I was brought up in the Catholic faith. Yes, I know that. But it wasn't something that was deeply ingrained in me because the Catholicism at that time had been abolished. So it wasn't actually something that was forced into me day after day after day. So I had not been desensitized, if you like, from the real prism of life, and changed into this other being. So I was really quite, I suppose, open to the fact. And even at the point of my passing, I was open to the fact of what I could see and the displays that I could see of the organic physical structure and how that appeared to change and alter at the point of my passing. I reflected almost instantly upon that and was aware of it. So, in a sense, I suppose you could say that I did not actually have the difficulty of having a closed mind. And I suppose, upon reflection of this, it means to say that I could accept details of my of the observations of the Akashic Book, and as I looked upon my journey, that it was of a mystery, a great unveiling, if you like, and quite a relief.
Oh, I'm sure, I'm sure. This is a spirit teaching, spirit's work, sorry, radio show. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking to Gregory about his journey in the spirit world. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Gregory about this, it's not a reading, but if you'd like to ask him about his journey or the spirit world in general, the number to call is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. And Canada is 888-815-9756. So, does every being being in the spirit world have a an eternal name of some kind, like you had Gregor?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Every being has a form of eternal name. They may not, their eternal name may not necessarily be linked to the Christian name that they have been given in physical life. It may not be linked to the Sufi name that they have been given, or any other name derived from some religious upbringing or from the family group name of your genetic DNA structure and histology.
Mm.
That, of course, is something which is perfected by your parents and to do with your parentage and that challenge. And, of course, if you look at Chinese peoples, well, then they have a completely different name structure in any event. First of all, perhaps, is their own name, and then the second name comes of their genetic family, and then another name, perhaps, for their specific dynasty, or the time of which, at which that part of the family of which you are a member.
Okay.
So the structure of names is something, of course, which is quite different in human physical life because it very much depends upon tribal custom and hierarchy and how those name structures come about. After all, if you look and reflect upon Native American folk, then it will be about whatever happened at the time of your birth
yes,
and will form
right.
part of your name, mm-hmm. although you will still have, perhaps, some effigies, if you'd like, of your parents' name. Perhaps you will still be a person called Black Elk, even if your name was, your first names were something quite different.
Mm. And also, you know, we, as you said many times before, have quite likely had physical lives on other dimensions. Other
yes.
planets or whatever,
yes.
and you did, and you've talked about that before. So at what point do you decide which name that you want to stick
adopt.
With? Yes, adopt.
Well, I suppose because of the fact that Gregor was what I was given at the point at which my consciousness became an integrated part of the whole, that I recognized I was part of the whole and also individual at the same state of oneness. And at the point that this happened, when I moved away as a spirit being from that which God is, if you like, the supreme energy of the universe, it meant to say that others who were around me intimated toward me that I was the emerging Gregor.
Right. Okay.
But this was said not in an English sense of language. You understand, the problem is, of course, that many people will have the sense and feeling that God is someone who's obviously going to speak in English.
Of course. Yeah.
But, of course, English was actually the developmental state of awareness of both Arabic, Greek, and various other smatterings of language, of French, of course, as well.
Mm.
And so you would actually understand then that the even the letters and names of Gregor were something which it didn't even exist at the time that my name was spoken. And yet it appeared to be that Gregor was not even in the fraction of letters or their accompanying sound. Yet it translates as Gregor in the native language of European.
Mm-hmm.
I find it difficult to actually move around the situation of how exactly this happened, how exactly this transpired.
Hmm. Well, so what about your guides and helpers then that you had when you had your physical life? When did they come into play back into your, or make themselves known to you? You spoke briefly about your doorkeeper a few weeks back. I know you had other guides and helpers and that sort of thing, even if you didn't know about them when you were having your physical life. When did these come back into play?
Well, I suppose really they came back into play and I was aware of them at the recounting of my Akashic book. And that really was the first time that I had any reflection, re-reflection, if you understand. At the time that I was viewing my Akashic book, I was observing, I remember, a time when the image changed and a picture revolved from one such page and became illuminated in front of my very face, in front of my understanding. And it was of a time when I was asleep. And I remember it, that I was in a half sleep, and that there was talking in the room, yet I could see no people. There was talking in the room, I could hear the sounds of their voices. And that this became obvious to me, that it was actually a recounting part of my journey of when I met with various others who were still non-physical. I must admit, actually, that at the time, I remember reflecting of my thoughts of this moment as though it was actually something of a bit of a terrifying memory, you understand? Because I was this lone person in this small cottage, and that I remember reflecting exactly as much upon my half-sleep. And so I was lying there, as it were, with one eye open and one eye tightly shut.
Hey, hold on to that. Hello, caller. Who is speaking?
Hi, Sylvie.
Hello, John.
Hi, yes, John from Chicago. How are you doing?
Okay, yes.
Very good. Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friend. Hello.
A couple of weeks ago, you were telling us about this fantastic, almost infinite hall that just kept on going on and on, and incredibly large room.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you ever have presentations or concerts or something where everybody in the spirit world assembles at one place? And if so, what are these like, and what are some recent ones that you attended?
Oh, yes, my dear friend, yes. Absolutely, there are events which are held in the halls of learning, events of a proportion and size. It's almost as though, you see, what you have to understand is that the halls of learning appears to be a never-ending experience. It's as though the more that you move within the halls of learning, the larger it becomes. And indeed, you can at times, as you study within the halls of learning, hear orchestras, you can hear music of other types and forms, or perhaps music of actual physical beings, and of the different sounds that they interplay as they interplay with one another. You may hear the different sounds as they emerge from certain books that people are viewing of certain animals' lives or something like that, or the lives and nature of certain creatures from another planet. It's the point is that it's not just one experience, and yet it, amazingly, if you are wanting to concentrate upon one experience, all other experiences are excluded from you until your concentration has been sated and your moment has been fulfilled and your knowledge has been gained. And then, in a sense, you just move on. Of course, you thank greatly those spirit that you have interacted with in the occasion of moving through their book of life or their book of knowledge that they wanted to bring and partake to you. The situation of at sometimes when we are in a viewance, if you like, of some particular situation, perhaps it is of some grand operatic thing, or perhaps it's something of more modern music, which is the kind of music that is being brought about now in your day and age, vis-a-vis, which is maybe possibly overlapped by some other music of some other age or type or destiny. You see, things are never as black and white as they seem in physical life. You don't have to go and buy a ticket or something like that in order to go and attend something. Although I have to say that usually what happens is that there is a kind of sense of there being a an actual notice, if you like, a display of when certain situations are going to take place, and that you actually, what you have to, one of the things that you have to learn to do as a spirit being, as a new spirit being perhaps, in the halls of learning or in the spirit world in general, is of course you have to learn how to use the access of thought code memory, which means to say that you have to accentuate the thoughts and the feelings that you had when you had a physical state, or when you didn't have a physical state. It doesn't matter whether you've had a physical state or not, because you can still access the situations of thought code memory purely because of the many situations that have come upon you as a pure spirit being. These also have memory codes lodged within your spirit. So it means to say that even if you have not had a physical experience, that you still have memory of experience. You don't have to have had a physical experience in order to have the codes of memory or thought processes issued by a physical brain experience. You actually have that as a general experience of your spirit. So this is something then which you then gravitate to. Oh yes, I would like to attend to that. And you don't have to find out where it is, because you just have the thought of what it is that you would like to experience, and you are taken there. Your spirit knows where that is. It's not something that you have to work out for yourself. Although some people, we find them distressing over the situation, and they say, oh, well, yes, but I'd really like to go to that, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know where it is. It doesn't say where it is. And, of course, you have to just say, well, you just have to think about it. Of course, you just bring it into your thought, and you concentrate upon that thought and the well-wishing, and the thought is sent as a form of love to that place, to that situation, and then open your eyes and there you are.
It's like the law of attraction in the spirit world.
Absolutely. The point is, you see, that the law of attraction in the physical reality, you have to depend upon the actual state of one and one, the law of one and one, which means that you're in one physical place and you have to go and be there in another physical place. In the spirit world, it doesn't happen like that, because the journey is ultra-dimensional. So it means to say, then, that you think of a place and that then you are a place.
So the other part of his question was, what was the latest concert or presentation that you went to?
Oh, yes, my dear friend. Yes, absolutely. I was actually visited by a number of beings who thought that I would like to be upon a very specific recital, in fact. And it was that of a piece of, by the name of water music. And I went and experienced this water music, which was actually written by a man called Handel, I understand. Most peculiar name, but a most glorious individual, and that I rested upon this situation. I remember that other beings around me, friends of mine, in fact, Red Fox was one, and also were others around me. Ham was with me too. He was my cousin, in fact, from physical life. And he was with me too. And he bade me that it was something that he would very much like to attend. And I said, oh, right you are then, we'll go, shall we? And we were there. In that instance, we were there, you see. That's all it takes, really, is the product of mind just to manifest it. And so, as we were there, we began to listen to the music and were also aware that the very structure and integrity of water was actually present during the rendition of this music that Handel had written about his portrayal of a certain aspect of life as he had envisaged it, as it had come to visit his consciousness whilst he was having the physical state experience. And the experience then became that different essences of water decided to take part in this water music experience, you see.
Like as if they've got a thinking brain.
Well, they had a part to play in it.
I know.
Because it was as though the water of essence of physical life wanted to respond to his rendition of the thoughts and feelings as a physical being had reflected upon the water of that person's experience. which is really what his music is about.
But you can imagine how difficult that is for us to comprehend.
Yes, absolutely. So in a sense it had time and structure and that kind of thing because of the original piece of music which he relayed. Yet at the same time, and of course you could imagine, this was a piece of music which was not played necessarily on the conventional instruments of which it was written for, but was also actually included many other instruments of a like nature that I could not begin to describe here. It would take far too long. But the situation, in any event, friend, was that it became obvious that there were different intonations, different situations, abbreviations, and different feelings of passages of the music, of which he was most inspired by the joining of these different energies as they moved and weaved through the music itself, and lent, in a sense, to a completely different and most profound experience. Something of which I understand that he, Handel himself, went through a form of bliss at its rendition. Absolute perfection. And in a sense, this is something as well which was repeated by the many voices and echoes of voice of human state and voices of other beings as well, other creatures which appeared to take the intonation of other certain energies and certain instruments of a like of their own voice, see.
Mm-hmm.
And they too were bringing about their own rendition of what their music of their interaction with water had been in their physical life, and what it had meant to them. The piece, I understand, carried on for some 2 hours or more. The original piece, I believe, is about 12 minutes.
John?
Yeah, that's a fascinating answer. Gregory, can I ask if there's ever any other beings, like archangels or higher, where they speak and everybody listens?
Yes, well, my dear friend, I have to say the whole situation to do with archangels is really coming from a scripture-based situation and scenario. What you have to understand is the spirit world, in fact, may be populated with such individuals. However, they are not the archetypal structure. They do not reflect the archetypal structure of the spirit world. They are confined to a religious basis of their own condition, which means to say then that they are glorying in the love or whatever energies that is afforded to them by those beings in physical state, or by those beings in the spirit world who still continue to offer them love and praise and all of those intonations of that indoctrination of which they had been a part of during their physical state experience and existence. It is something which continuously seems to reflect the admiration of those whom study that particular aspect of religious dietitian, diatribe, if you like, of that particular religious state of influx in that being's consciousness understanding. It is not something which is of integral value of the spirit world, in as much as the spirit world is not defined by one specific religious excursion that is taking place in physical hierarchy life. It is something which is adorned by physical life, as is adorned by various other religious experiments and trains of thoughts of the elliptical mind in physical life. It is something which is taken to the spirit world because those beings who come to our side of life still have those thoughts and still have those appraisals of their life and that kind of experience. So actually, my dear friend, if you ask, of course, that you want to hear a certain situation or rendition by a certain archangel or principality, perhaps it's perhaps you are affiliating yourself towards one of the 12 apostles or something like that, I dare say that you will be able to go and meet with them. The point is, however, that is a form of hierarchical situation which developed through religious understanding and very much to do with indoctrination of the physical life excursion. It is nothing really integrally to do with the spirit world or its makeup. If you asked Archangel Michael to verify the certain aspects of a certain other quadrant or a dimensional state within the spirit world, then that would not have an effect upon it because it is not of a relationship to that situation. That would be to do with a completely different aspect of species or a completely different aspect of race. So you are applying one situation purely to the mechanic of mind of human apparatus. You are not, in fact, illuminating the situation to the spirit world specifically.
Archangels and that sort of thing that we talk about are to do with the religious human concept of of life.
Absolutely, and their position has been accolated by that concept, by that precision of love, by that outpouring of emotional state. Yes, I know that many people will be holding their hands in shame or had their heads in horror at the words of which I am speaking. But, my dear friends, I'm saying merely that you cannot just think in terms of heaven or the spirit world being the containment of human destiny. It certainly isn't. And it's a pious state that humanity has brought itself to think in such small circles. So the situation is there are many, many beings in the spirit world who are illuminatory, my friend, who are of vast experience, just the same as you are a being of vast experience. You just need to uncover the very breadth of that experience, which you will no doubt be able to continue to receive at moments of your physical life, but they will be just brief encounters of that life. It's of no detriment to you, friend.
Okay, John?
That's fascinating, but it gets me back to when you read your Akashic book, do you have a different perception of it than if somebody else read it, or does everybody read it on the same page, so to speak?
Well, my dear friend, you would be the only person who would read your Akashic book unless you actually allowed someone else to read your Akashic book. Someone else cannot obtain your Akashic book without your permission, nor can they obtain it vicariously. So it's a situation whereby your Akashic book is peculiar to you because it's completely reflective upon your beautiful and puristic journey. There is no pluralism here. It doesn't mean to say that it's divided into segments of one life and then another life. It is one continuous book because your life has been a continuous experience. It's not denigrated into levels of experience. It is not shelved or racked or enclosed upon some gaudy mechanism, and it is certainly not enclosed upon something to do with the specific energy of understanding that you have attained during your physical life experience, because it will actually be the reflective state of your whole and complete experience, which is something quite apart and seems almost alien when you first come upon it. But the point to say, really, is that this experience is just the minutest aspect of that which your Akashic book truly is.
John, we've come to time. You've taken us up to the end of the show, John.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so.
Yeah, and you.
I'm going to bed. Thank you.
God bless. God bless. Well, with love and light, then, my dear friend. God bless upon your journey, each and every one. Sleep tight.
We'll look forward to, part 7 next week.
Yes, very well.
There's so much more to discuss yet. We haven't even come across the White Cloud Group yet.
We have barely even covered, really, the extremity, the enormity of the whole experience of life in the spirit world.
Okay, excellent.
God bless.
God bless. I'd like to say thank you for John for his call, and we hope you've all enjoyed the show. And I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us, our books, our CDs. You can book an Akashic reading if you would like one. And we have another show on Thursday. Until then, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad in Berlin, Germany, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.